I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. This hour of the program, it's a program that Colleen and Gretchen learned about when they went on a tour last week and were very impressed with what they saw. Associate in Commercial Real Estate program created at Marquette University some years ago to train minorities for career paths in the commercial real estate industry. And many of these people are going back to neighborhoods in the central city and doing really redevelopment work. The impact is being seen throughout the city of Milwaukee and beyond, being done by minority developers, brokers, and contractors. In terms of real estate brokers, there haven't been many minorities in this field. When you hear about the number there used to be, it's really pretty abysmal. But Mark Epley did something about that. Robert B. Bell, Senior Chair in Real Estate at Marquette University. He started what's called the ACRE program after moderating a commercial real estate conference in 2004, was approached by a colleague who said, you know, there aren't any minorities in the audience. So Mark decided to do something about that. And indeed, he has, and he is with us. Mark, thanks so much for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
Anxious to hear all about the program. And also joining us is Tamika Green. She is the class of 2017 graduate of ACRE. She has a very interesting background. She runs her own business now, G8 Properties. She's a real estate investor and property manager and owns and manages some 97 units now in Milwaukee. She has the eight, well, she'll tell you about the eight properties, how that came about, the name of it. She has an engineering background. She's worked in the auto industry. She's been an at-home mom, and now she is very successfully involved in this industry. And thank you, Tamika, very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And we'll be welcoming phone calls. We always do. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Why were there so few people? Not that there are a whole lot right now, but minorities have not been represented in this profession hardly at all, Mark. Why?
Probably two reasons. First off, it's historic around redlining. Mm-hmm. As well as maybe explicit and implicit lender bias back in history. That would be post, let's say, World War II. I think there's also a subtle exclusion as well, quiet exclusion, because about 85% of those who employ real estate professionals come from small firms. So even if you're developing $10 or $100 million worth of real estate, you might only need a dozen or two people. And how do you go about hiring? You go to your friends and family and go to informal networks and don't look beyond some of that where there could be talented minority possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So you were told at this conference, look at this audience.
Yes, I was.
And it was
embarrassing. You know, I didn't quite think of it that way. I have been involved in a previous program to increase minority participation in the field. But my colleague, a former dean, was absolutely right on. It was very white. And, you know, when you start looking at the purpose of what Marquette's education is, it's about educating the community, not just a series of white suburban folks.
Mm-hmm. Tamika, you've done a number of different things in your life. You went to real estate because...
Well, actually, I convinced my husband, who was an executive with Johnson Controls, that real estate was going to be our retirement, and so that we should invest some portion of our money into real estate for some passive income when we decided to not work in kind of our chosen careers.
Mm-hmm. And was it something that was kind of unique for you to be thinking of doing because there weren't many minorities in the profession?
I kind of didn't think of it that way.
Really?
I didn't consider that. Although I really started out looking at the residential sector. And then when I did become interested in commercial, I realized that it was a very closed kind of market. The market is very closed. So, for example, you can even have funds, you can have money and be willing to invest in commercial real estate. And it is very difficult to find assets that you might be interested in purchasing. And part of that is because, unlike residential, there's no real MLS system. Many, many deals are done, or the best deals are done, you know, with a handshake. Or not with a handshake, they're all the legal, but they are done with people in that network.
Kind of off-market.
Off-market, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what I was trying to think of. So what Mark was saying is really very deep. It's deeper than you can hardly put words on, because that network is such a key to success. Even if you have funds, if you don't have access to the network, it will be very difficult for you to find opportunities to.
So the ACRE program gives people a network?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the purpose of the program is increased diversity in commercial real estate, mm-hmm. Emphasizing commercial, through education. That's the program. It's a one-year program. Through networking, we have the ACRE network, as well as placement. So networking is critically important, especially in the field of real estate.
How so? What kind of networking?
Talking to colleagues at Marquette, if you look at manufacturing as a quick example, you have vendors that supply you with goods, and then you do something with them, and then you supply somebody else with those goods. When you start looking at a commercial real estate deal, well, you've got a lender, you've got a developer, you've got construction folks, you've got a tenant, you've got a series of legal agreements. So you work with a whole range of folks, and that network is critically important, just as Tamika was suggesting, to find the deals, source deals, and ultimately close on them. Having a great relationship with a lender is a big deal.
A lot what I've read about ACRE concentrates on what's going on in the central city in Milwaukee, that there are areas that have been redeveloped as a result of this program, that there are people who are going into the neighborhoods and doing commercial property and then doing apartments above the commercial property, which
Absolutely.
Really could revitalize a lot of parts of the city, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Many ACRES graduates have worked in neighborhoods that other developers wouldn't be interested in working in. And I think that's another goal of the program, that urban development is not as attractive to non-minority developers, but for minority developers who live in these urban neighborhoods, they have more of an interest in revitalizing, as you put it, those neighborhoods. So you see developments like North Avenue and, is it North Avenue and 14th, where there is the new pharmacy and with housing above that, Hyatt Pharmacy. Mm. There's the Griot that's happening right now on North Avenue and 4th. Is that correct? With Melissa Goins and I forget who her partner is. Melissa is also our ACRES graduate. I don't know her personally, but hear tons of great things about her. And so those neighborhoods have not been as attractive to a lot of non-minority developers, and we understandably have an interest in
right.
our neighborhood.
And you're taking a risk because you're not sure, I would imagine, what's going to happen with the real estate, what's going to happen with the neighborhood. It takes a few people to do the right thing and go in, and then I would imagine it spurs other kind of development, or maybe there's a risk that it won't, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's possible. And even going back to your colleagues doing the tour along Martin Luther King Drive, I think it was led by Doncia Stronghill of LISC, who's an ACRE graduate running LISC, which is a local initiative support corporation, supporting low-income housing in the city. From there, you went and were visited with the executive director of the King Drive Economic Development Group, Deshe Aji, who is an ACRE graduate as well. You would then meet with the leadership of JCP, which is a construction company. And this construction company is three brothers. It's James, Jalen, and Clifton Phelps, all ACRE graduates. And from there, and so
you got a network.
And that's exactly
that's
what's important.
Exactly the point.
Right.
Yeah. So that starts to go to that whole network point that we're trying to make. And that's critically important. And they start working with each other. And like I say, it's easier to source deals. It's better. It's easier to get some better quotes and maybe execution on construction deals and so forth.
So what happens to a neighborhood when you have success? When somebody does something, one of the ACRE graduates takes a building, makes a commercial thing, and good apartments that are affordable. What happens to a neighborhood?
There's certainly a catalytic effect to redevelopment or development in neighborhoods that have been who need revitalization. So then you see other small businesses around thriving and improving. You see more people coming into the neighborhood to live, and you see less vacancy in the homes and so forth. So there's a lot of benefit to redeveloping the urban areas to the city even the city of Milwaukee is very supportive of the program for that reason. There's a lot of inventory that the city is, you know, they don't want to be in the business of real estate. So whenever there's revitalization in the city and houses can sell and be occupied successfully, then it's a great thing.
Yeah. So we've been talking about this issue for a long time. Central City, Milwaukee has, lived in the city for a long, long time now, and it's needed a spark for years and years and years. Is this the spark? Does this add to other kinds of great projects that are going on? It seems, A, that it's been neglected for a long period of time. A lot of foreclosed properties, a lot of people who are, you know, living in very, very segregated community. And so it stays, and it goes on and on and on.
Right. So this might be one of the sparks. I wouldn't want to take that much credit. But when you start looking at what we try to do with the ACRE program and how we will run this coming year's course, we're working with the Department of City Development. They're providing with a series of sites that are needed to be developed. From there, we're working with the industry and have mentors that are architects, that are bankers, as well as construction folks. From there, we have LISC bringing the community together as well. And then we have the education partners, and I want to make sure I recognize those. It is not just Marquette University. We have taken the lead, but we have Carolyn Eswine over at UWM with the whole architecture focus.
And Bob, great program.
Yeah, absolutely. Great program. And then Bob Lemke over at MSOE. So, and he's more on the project management, construction management. So here you have investment in real estate at Marquette, construction management at MSOE, and architecture with Carolyn Eswine. It brings together educational institutions as well. So I think that's something that's important to us.
Yeah. So when you look at the number of people who are involved over all of those different industries, you got a fairly big project going on, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think that it's important to recognize that not only have we expanded the network to include previous ACRES graduates, but we have also tapped into the existing network. So we're fairly well supported by some of the major developers in the Milwaukee area as well. Mm-hmm. So Barry Mandel has been supportive, and the Gorman company, they've been supportive of the, and we get introduced to kind of the movers and shakers in the development. Yeah. So then it's up to us to impress someone.
And following up on that, we've all heard the term, it takes a village to pull something together. We went through this example along King Drive, how it really does take a village. And I like to say it takes a city. It takes the city of Milwaukee
right.
to
Absolutely.
Pull all this together. And I don't necessarily mean just the city and the municipal part, but it is the whole set of folks that would be part of this, from lenders, from developers,
Absolutely.
And so forth. And one of the things that I'm humbled by are the regular calls that I get from the business community saying, how can I help? How can I be a part of this? Recognizing the need for diversity in this industry.
Right. Is there a need in the areas that you work in to attract some kind of very major business that would make your work a lot easier in commercial real estate if you had some hub of business in this part of the city? And have there been attempts to draw, I don't know, a tech company or a water company or a solar energy company or something like that to provide jobs and to help sell homes and really make the area flourish?
Yeah, I think personally that's a big challenge for the development community right now, because one of the big areas that have been typically developed is, you know, retail opportunities, and then, you know, also on the industrial and manufacturing, that's kind of a real no-brainer. Everybody wants to have some kind of base of manufacturing. Well, all of those things are changing so much, and they're going away to a large extent.
Right.
And it, most notably retail. So now when you're looking at trying to develop something that's multi-use, and maybe you have some residential above and you have some retail or some type of commercial use on the lower floors, there are a lot of things that might have typically been attractive that are kind of touch and go now, because there's so much internet shopping and malls have become
Absolutely.
More
it's
of a
changing.
Destination. And so your retail for boutiques and that kind of thing are much more challenging to be successful. So that is one of the things that when I'm looking at a project, and I'm looking at a couple projects right now and trying to figure out, you know, cafes have still, you know, you still have to have destinations for people to meet and greet, but that can't be the only thing.
Yeah, so much as Tamika went through, there's really two starting points with the real estate development. One is a site in search of a use. So you might have a building or a site looking for a use or a user, and you go forward, and hopefully you'll have a tenant later as you redevelop it. Think of some of the redeveloped industrial buildings into apartments in the Third Ward as an example.
Yeah.
And then the second one, which is the one you're describing here, Kathleen, is a use in search of a site. So now you've got a use, Foxconn, or NML, or you know, any other large user or small user for all that matters, is looking for space. How do you accommodate that? So it is a little easier if you have a user, because that's going to be the income stream by which you create value at that particular location to justify development or redevelopment.
You mentioned Foxconn. Let's talk about that for a moment. Is that going to afford possibility of jobs and maybe some businesses in Milwaukee in the area that we're talking about, or is it going to be totally... Where's it going now? Mount Pleasant, Racine, Kenosha, somewhere in that area. Will there be something here, too?
Well, first off, I think there's a couple of different locations that they can go to, and I think that's really wise that it's not one, which gives some flexibility regarding site acquisition. When you start talking about 13,000 jobs at Foxconn, which seems to be more the upper end, and then you go, for the most part, it's pretty fair to say, as those dollars get put into our pockets, they then roll into the economy in other ways, and there's usually a kind of a 1X. So if you've got 13,000 jobs, you're going to probably create another 13,000 jobs in ancillary businesses. But the really kind of interesting thing is, how many subcontractors will Foxconn bring in?
Right.
We've heard a little bit about Corning possibly coming here. They're the kind of the glass makers for their screens. Mm-hmm. We've heard about them possibly coming downtown with an office building as well, downtown Milwaukee, to be clear. So there's going to be a whole series of things that come to bear that could be good throw-offs for this outside of the Foxconn development itself. The $10 billion is a strikingly large number, as is the $3 billion package that they're asking for.
Yeah, it is indeed. So when you are driving around the city in the suburbs and you're looking for a place, you say, hey, maybe this will be something I want to invest in. What are you looking at? And do you do that every day? Do you drive around and look at what's available?
I have a couple things on my radar. I actually have current projects that I'm working on, kind of redeveloping some of my current properties. But yeah, definitely. I think you look at adjacencies. You know, you look at what you're looking for is you're trying to cast your net into the future. You're trying to project something. So it's much harder for, especially a developer like me, who is, I'm pretty small, to go into the hottest market. I can't afford to go downtown and buy something and develop it right across the street from the new Bucks arena,
right?
So I can't afford that. So what I'm looking for is adjacencies. I'm looking for, okay, well, how far is the impact of the Bucks going to go? Can I go, you know, a half mile away, and is it still going to be picking up in that area? Or you look at neighborhoods, like I'm looking at a project in the Martin Drive neighborhood right now, pretty much on the fringe of the Martin Drive neighborhood. So that neighborhood has been sustaining itself and being kind of revitalized over the past 10 years or so. And so there are some adjacencies there that are really attractive to me. So I look for adjacencies personally because I'm at the point in my development career where I can't just go into the hottest area.
And, not yet.
Right, not yet.
A few years down the road.
Not yet, yeah.
We're going to welcome phone calls for both our guests, and here's how you reach the conversation. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. We're talking about the ACRE program, which is helping increase the representation of people of color in Milwaukee's commercial real estate industry and along the way, and importantly, helping to redevelop and revitalize certain neighborhoods in Milwaukee that could use revitalization. And we're welcoming calls at 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter @KDunnShow. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Redevelopment of Central City, Milwaukee this hour and expanding the number of people of color who are in Milwaukee's commercial real estate industry. There were very few, and due to the ACRE program, there are more of them. Mark Epley is founder of ACRE and chair in real estate and professor of finance at Marquette University. Chamika Green is a graduate of the ACRE program, is a real estate investor and property manager, owns and operates 97 properties here in Milwaukee. And we welcome your phone calls. If you have thoughts about redevelopment of the city of Milwaukee and the number of people of color who are in this field and why there aren't very many and the leftover effects of redlining, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to call us at 800-486-8655. You know, when you said to me when I was asking for your bio information that you own and manage 97 units in Milwaukee, my immediate thought, I didn't say it to you, but I will now. I thought, oh my gosh, how do you do that? Isn't that a lot of work? I mean, you have to learn how to manage all of that too, don't you?
Yeah, it's like having about 100 kids.
Whoa.
So yeah, there's a lot of follow-up required to manage properties. I think it is, I knew that it would be very involved, but it's probably twice as involved as I even anticipated. Yeah. So I own a 94 unit apartment complex in the River West neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that is a redevelopment opportunity for me. So I'm slowly kind of redeveloping that property. It was, I bought it out of foreclosure, essentially, and it had been neglected with quite a bit of deferred maintenance. And so we've been working over the past 2 years to protect the building, so to get the really critical issues done, roofing and foundation, cement work and that kind of thing. And then also to work on just taking care of the tenants that we have, because we are pretty close to full.
About, oh, you are?
We're about 90% occupancy. So we are, you know, working to take care of the tenants who have been neglected as well. So, and secure that. I also own a church building and a few houses, so.
That's a lot. So I would imagine the ACRE program has to deal with all of that as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does. And so with our partnerships with the Department of City Development, what we're really working on are a series of sites, and hopefully sites that will be in catalytic areas or in catalytic neighborhoods that will begin to spur redevelopment with those sites. And oftentimes they're tough sites to develop or redevelop. But once they do, think about the importance of some neighborhood retail or some grocery in the neighborhood, and the draw that it can create, the street traffic can create, and how it starts to change the face of the neighborhood. But you're right, it takes a lot to get that tenant in. That grocer isn't always going to come with ease, and it takes a whole list of folks.
Mm-hmm. And faith.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. What about, you mentioned groceries. We hear that there's a real lack of places to buy food that's affordable and good in the city. How do you attract that kind of development? How do you look at it? I mean, I would imagine there are some buildings that would be good for really good grocery stores, and there would be a market for that. Why aren't there any? Or very few.
I'll give it a quick shot. First off, a grocery store footprint is probably 55 to 60,000 square feet. You also have to have drive-up docks on one side, and you have to have a sea of parking around it to make it very accessible. When we start looking at that, that's about the size of a half of a city block, maybe even more. And now you go, okay, where can you find half a city block that is that's very underutilized, that you can probably rip everything down and put up a new grocery store at that location? Because most people shop for their groceries using a car. So the idea of pedestrian traffic and immediacy in the neighborhood of walking, as important as that is, most people shop with a car because of the heaviness of the grocery when they leave. So that's a tough starting point. From there, there's largely only a handful of grocery stores that really operate in this market. If you try to think of the primary grocery store user, there's only a couple. And so it's hard to get them to expand into a good number of areas. And they need to justify their sales, which justifies the rent, which justifies the value, which justifies the development of that. I'm not sure if I fully got to your question, but it takes a lot of real estate to put forth a grocery store. And grocery store uses are not real dense. It's going to be one floor, and that's it.
Right.
And urban real estate needs to be more dense than that oftentimes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And when you both of you look at, obviously, affordable housing and good affordable housing is very important for people to have a place to live, is very important. When you look at other areas, because you've both thought about this a long time, in addition to grocery stores, in addition to cafes or places where people can congregate, what else, even though you may not have the resources to buy this at this point in time, but maybe you will, would be desirable in all these areas, King Drive, North Avenue? What needs to go there?
Well, I think some service industries, some of my colleagues in the Acres class had some really great ideas about that. Dog groomers, workout facilities, places that really lend themselves to the types of things that people are interested in. So not just food, but some services that people would be looking to get. So it's a really interesting proposition to transition. That's why I said I've been challenged with the proposition to transition out of the retail mindset in terms of that commercial development piece on the first floor. Office space, one of the really very interesting kind of developments in office space is the, I think you call it condoing, mm-hmm. where you basically have a generic office that people can rent on a kind of hourly basis or daily basis, and you provide, you know, all of the telephony and network mm-hmm. connectivity and so forth for people, and they can come in and use a space for meetings and for just to sit down with their computer, especially people who are traveling. So those are some opportunities that, you know, have been tossed around. And then again, from a hoteling or condoing office space perspective, you've got to be able to attract the folks to come in
right.
to do that. So you need some relationships.
Yeah. So you do some brainstorming in these classes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and if you really want to think about coming up with a good site for, be it low-income housing or market-rate housing, what you want to do is you want to figure out what are the set of amenities that those tenants would like to have to in their neighborhood. And one great place to start, it's a Google search engine called WalkScore, mm-hmm. and it goes to the
WalkScore.
Okay. It's the walkability of a neighborhood. They use 14 different attributes, and if you have those attributes within a quarter mile, you get all the points. And those attributes starts with a grocery store, a pharmacy, a trails or a park, restaurants, maybe a bar, and I forget the list of things, but it's the things that you would want to have in close proximity to where you live, work, or play,
mm.
and in this case, where you live. And so that's a nice place to start to go, gee, and at one point you can't think of it from your perspective. You want to think about it from those in that neighborhood and what will
right.
they want to have.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
We haven't talked enough about, and we'll go to phone calls in a moment, too, about the program. So what is Acres? Who comes to the program? How long does it take? What do you learn?
The ACRE program is a 26-week-long program. It is focused on minority participants because we're looking to increase diversity in the field. The program will be in its 10th year in the coming year. And what we're really looking to teach is the idea around development feasibility. So when we've talked about having a development site, how do you look at that site and determine what is the highest and best use for that site? And then how do you go about to cost that out as well as set up an income stream to see if it is justified? So we go through that over the year. We have a fair number of industry participants. I already mentioned some of the academic partners that we use, but we really do engage a whole set of folks that come into the class to teach each one of those components mm-hmm. from a lender to an architect to, you know, construction folks and so forth. And so when they leave, they should have a sense of how to go forward with a development? And really, does the income stream which creates the value exceed the cost? And that's where DCD can come in as well. DCD is looking at redeveloping in some really difficult areas, and can they provide some support to make up that gap quite possibly? Mm-hmm. So they've been a great partner in this program as well.
And Tamika, you decided to do the program because did you have reservations about this? Was it a dream at all for you?
Well, so I don't want to give the long answer. I have a tendency to talk a lot. But I've always been interested in real estate. You know, I would, as a young college grad, I would look at apartment complexes and say, wow, it would be nice to own something like
really?
That.
Really? Huh.
And so I've always really been interested in it. But honestly, I put the wheel before the horse. I bought the apartment complex in 2015 and realized that it was a development project. It wasn't just a real estate investment, mm-hmm. that I was kind of in it. And so I had been looking at acres for a number of years and on the fence about whether I should sign up to try to participate. Only because I wasn't sure. I had kind of been doing it. I have a business background, so I had some. But then I got in and I thought, wow, this is bigger than I thought. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple. It's not just a straight set of books. It's kind of more complicated. It's all these relationships and so forth. And so I looked a little deeper into acres and I said, you know what, I really need to do this. And then once I got into the class, it was even more than what I thought I was missing. So it was incredibly valuable. It's been a great experience for me and proven to be very useful in my business.
Let's go to calls. And if you want to join us, our number is 800-486-8655. Jerry in Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon. I'm hoping you won't find this too far off point, but it does relate to the lack of participation of minorities. I was just wondering if Ms. Tamika, she may know this person. I saw a documentary produced on Milwaukee PBS about the Milwaukee area, probably right around the year 2000, talking about people getting displaced from jobs. And there was a young African-American family that the husband had lost his job, and I believe the wife lost hers, and she went and got her real estate license. Now, this is close to 20 years ago, so it would probably be even, and she talked about how difficult it was for her to show houses because the places she went to work for, typically they would just give her inner city and not some of the more lucrative mm-hmm. outlying areas. And I was just wondering if Ms. Tamika happened to know this woman. For the life of me, I can't remember her name, but she may be familiar with the woman, being one of the few African Americans, especially going back that far, that was in the industry.
Yeah, this is not Tamika, this is Mark, but I have a sense of who you might be referring to. So I think that was the Stanley family, and they lived on the near west side here in Milwaukee. And as it turns out, their son, Keith Stanley, went through the ACRE program.
Oh, really?
And is now the executive director of the Near West Side Partners, a program over there. So in some ways, I think that helped direct Keith into the program and really work for the neighborhood. I mean, he's passionate about the neighborhood.
That name does sound familiar, excuse me for interrupting, because I believe, I don't know if he's the oldest, but I know they had one son going off to college while they were doing this.
Right. I remember. What was that documentary? I remember this documentary, too.
I forget the name of the documentary.
Yeah, but
it was three families.
Yes.
And the whole idea of displacement and disruption in the families as large corporations with big manufacturing jobs and good, well-paying union jobs went away, and the next level wasn't there to support them. I thought it was a great little series.
If I can just ask, I guess when I first called, I was wondering, did she stay in the industry? Did she end up staying with the industry, or did she move on to something else?
Yeah. I don't think we know.
Okay.
So make up the best story, and you can just believe that until you hear something that's not as good.
I think it's a great story that her son is in the industry.
It's remarkable.
It predates,
that
great story predates me. In 2000, I wasn't here, but yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jerry mentioned selling properties in places where houses are worth a whole lot of money. What's that? Does ACRES address that? Is it hard to become a minority in real estate, selling million-dollar houses along the lakeshore?
Well, I can speak to that just a little bit, just because I actually have a relationship with the number one real estate agent, and she's a very good friend of mine. And I feel a little sleazy mentioning her name, but her name is Charborg, and she is an African-American woman. She does sell a lot of real estate on the east side, and she, I think, for maybe 2 years running, the past 2 years, was number one in the state. So certainly there are barriers, and there continue to be barriers for African-Americans, but that's kind of a different thing. Acres does not address the residential market at mm-hmm. all. So I can answer that, but it's a sidebar just because I happen to know her. But Acres doesn't address the residential
sales market. And I think the commercial real estate industry and those using spaces would be largely indifferent to it being a Caucasian or an African-American developer, so long it's well-placed and fits their needs.
Right.
Yeah, one of the thing, I'd just like to speak to that. One of the things that, for me, my background is engineering. I'm definitely a people person. But as I thought about the potential of doing residential real estate, I was not interested in residential real estate because it's a passion play. You know, it's not straight numbers decision. You know, when you want to sell your house, you place extra value on it because of how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. And then when you're looking for a house, you kind of, it's not so logical. And that would not kind of fit my personality, even though I like people. I love that the commercial kind of is all about the numbers. And so I think that when you have a good deal, if you can take a good deal to someone, then you should get a shot. And of course, there are situations where that may not be the case, but you shouldn't let that stop you. You should continue to take your good deal and do good work. And so that's what I love about this industry as well.
What happened to this whole industry? We're not that far from it, and there are still effects from the housing bubble, the Great Recession that hit in 2008. What did it do to the Acres program? What did it do to redevelopment? What did it do to the whole industry?
That's a great question. So some of the best developers come 2009, 2010, part of the Great Recession, couldn't get financing and had problems keeping their own deals alive. We ran the Acre program for 6 years through 2010, and at that point put it on hiatus, recognizing we do not want to share false hope. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to have graduates get out and think that they can be successful in commercial real estate, especially at a time when some of the best and the brightest in the industry are having a hard time securing debt.
Yeah, money is dried up.
As well as redeveloping things. So it was devastating to the industry, and there was a washout of a fair number of even fairly high-quality developers, but in part it came from, you know, too much capital chasing a lack of demand, quite honestly. And what happened was overbuilding, and we went through that cycle.
Mm. Is it over?
Oh, yeah, I think it's over. There's some lingering effects of it, though. The lenders are a little more conservative, a little more thoughtful. I still think the consumer is a little bit concerned, and we can start seeing that with some of the bankruptcies and the Chapter 11 filings by some of the bigger retailers, which keeps some a little bit at bay. And importantly, the financial decision makers at many firms who ultimately lease space are still fairly conservative in the way they look at expanding. So it was real easy for businesses to cut expenses, but then it's far harder to grow the top line, which usually means new real estate and new facilities and new manufacturing plants or bank branches or whatever it would be to grow. And they've been hesitant to go into that. And therefore, the step back into new commercial real estate development has been somewhat slow, even to this point.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about something you said earlier, Tamika, and that's how all our habits are changing. I really do wonder about the landscape of the areas that we're talking about in the whole country, because we're not shopping anymore. I hate that in a way, that it's going to change really the very face of our streets in cities, isn't it?
Well, certainly. I think that I remember growing up and my mom, you know, and taking me to the mall as a little girl. And I grew up in Detroit where we had a big J.L. Hudson's building, and it was an experience. At Christmas time, it was just huge. There's so little of that anymore. But what's interesting, though, is even though there's not as much shopping kind of as a destination, I think that there's the social aspect of those destinations. And so how do we translate kind of that social aspect into something that's meaningful, because everything, we can't all communicate totally by texting.
Right.
Now everyone wants to just text, and we got to do more than just that. So I think that those are some of the opportunities, some of those linking to those social opportunities that, you know, not just drinking and going out to a bar, but some good social interactions.
Mm-hmm. What do you say about that, Mark?
I generally agree. When you start looking at what can be delivered, and more things can be delivered, and larger things can be delivered through the likes of Amazon, some of those sales are going away from local retailers, and in particular, soft goods sales. It's clothing, as well as durables, TV sets, and so forth. However, as Tamika suggested, we still need that sense of community. And one of the great things about what's happening currently is that we're redeveloping some of the main streets, recognizing that we want to, as citizens, be in walking distance of a neighborhood. And the redevelopment of those main streets can be hard, but can be very interesting from bringing back some of the services that were there before, be it the a restaurant, a bar, or a dog groomer, you name it. Mm-hmm. So that's happening in a lot of the neighborhoods, and I think that's a real joy.
Yeah, we'll always need those kinds of places, won't we? How do you deal with the prevalence, and I guess that there is more crime in certain parts of the city than not, and when we're looking at 53206 zip code particularly, it's the poorest zip code in the city of Milwaukee, and there's more crime there than there is in other places. How do you deal with that at that aspect when it comes to redevelopment?
I love that question. It's a very direct and challenging question. I think as a minority myself, who grew up in the inner city, at, you know, kind of representing that idea that we need to hold our neighborhoods to a higher standard. And it's hard to ask someone who doesn't and has never experienced that inner city living to come in and have the courage to do that. And so I think that's one of the other things that's really, really important about the ACRE program, is that we... I've talked to my husband at nauseam about this issue of just being courageous enough to say, let's try this in the city and do this project in the city, even though we know that there's going to be a challenge with, you know, what kind of kids are going to come in, or what, you know, what's going on outside the building and so forth. But when you bring something beautiful and you offer something nice, then hold the people to a higher standard. And, you know, let them know that you appreciate them and that they should appreciate what you're offering. And I think that's the key, is that you offer something nice and then you ask for them to respect it.
That's a great answer. Mark?
So I would argue crime comes with desolation. So as you start having people, maybe not walk the streets, maybe drive home and quickly go into their housing unit. But that's where crime starts to come up, is when there aren't people to see you. Mm-hmm. So the idea that we've talked about is redeveloping main streets and some of those corridors that historically served as a main street from a retail perspective, that starts to bring people out. It starts to create a walkability, among other things. So creating those nodes of activity that are well-lit and well-policed is the same, I think really can start that process back in the right direction.
Mm. And Tamika mentioned that you have to have some courage. You do have to have courage. People who are in the program, I'm sure, are by and large a courageous lot.
You know, I'll reflect on the very first year we ran the program, and we looked at the applicants, and we asked a handful of questions, including, why would you want to be in the ACRE program? And I read every one of those, and sometimes twice. In one young lady, I noted her address where she lived, and it was not in a great part of town. It was pretty economically challenged. And she starts out by saying she loves the city of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And it brings a smile to my face, just like yours. And that's where it starts, around building community, and that's where they want to be. They want to see things happen in a better way in their own community. And that's the case with 95-98% of the folks. But in the bad areas, it ends up being, well, it might be 90% and 92%. You just have a few more folks that really do create that challenge.
I think I really agree with that, Mark, and I think that that's one of the things that it's easy to miss, is that there is a commitment to the neighborhoods from the people who live in those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge commitment. There are people and families who've stayed in Milwaukee in the same neighborhood, and they've chosen to stay because they're committed and they love Milwaukee, and they don't want to give up you know, not just their family home, but they don't want to give up kind of their presence in the city. And I think that's important for us to respect as well and to serve. So
I want to talk more about the people who've been through the program because I'm sure that you have a lot of wonderful stories and people to introduce us to, and we'll meet them in a moment. We're talking about the ACRE program, helping expand representation of people of color in Milwaukee's commercial real estate program. It goes beyond that because, of course, the work they're doing, which is creating vibrant places in places that haven't been so vibrant in Milwaukee as a result of redevelopment efforts. So if you want to join us, we're having a great time talking about this, but if you have thoughts about all of this, we have a few minutes left for your phone calls. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network. All right, well, Mark, you were going to say something.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about education networking and placement of our students, and I thought what might be helpful to give maybe a little better picture of the full story arc is a few of the graduation comments I made that really quickly go
sure.
through that. And this was graduation for the ACRE class of 2017. So as I spoke to the class, we talked about, you know, and ACRE graduates have completed over 1,000 housing units in Milwaukee
wow.
in the state of Wisconsin. And then from there you go, so how did they get those developments done? Well, three of our ACRE graduates are aldermen for the city of Milwaukee. So not only did they have the help with the aldermen, but they
great.
Were good quality projects as well. And you go, then you go, well, how do those aldermen get informed about some of these projects? Well, they go to the Department of City Development, where we have six or seven folks as well. From there you go, how do those aldermen have credible, viable main streets? Three of the executive directors for the main streets are ACRE graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, then we also have LISC director being Adonsi Stronghill, an ACRE graduate. And then also delighted to have the president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Club
great.
Being an ACRE graduate. And here's what's cool about that. For me, at Marquette University, he is also on the Board of Trustees at Marquette University. So I felt it helpful to kind of go through that full circle, that full story arch around.
Well, he was also previously a banker
yeah.
in the city.
Banker and then worked in community development.
What a group.
So,
what a
yeah,
group.
So it's kind of fun to see that.
More
success.
Information. We're out of time. More information, people go to, where can they find out more?
They can go to LISC Milwaukee. I'm sorry, I don't have the LISC
website.
Milwaukee website available, but that's Local Initiatives Support Corporation, our LISC Milwaukee.
Okay.
And they should be able to find it there.
Thank you both so much. Pleasure to meet both of you and talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mark Epley, who is chair in real estate and professor of finance at Marquette University, started this whole ACRES program some years ago. And Tamika Green, who graduated from the program just recently, her background is in engineering. She's now a property manager, owns and operates some 97 units in Milwaukee, and has only just begun. Thanks so much to Gretchen Brown for producing this hour, and thanks to Colleen Leahy for on-air production here in Milwaukee. If you don't know the story of Pardeep Kalika and Arno Michaelis, well, you're going to want to learn it because they will be joining us the second hour, two very unlikely people meeting and doing extraordinary work.